I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. And he led me in the way that he went around me. And he led me in the way I ought to go. Like Jesus, there's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could change the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he.
Good to see all of you here. I trust that you're all doing well. Good to have visitors with us. We're thankful to have Pastor Paul Sinnott from Calvary Baptist in North Dakota, him and his wife visiting down. Thank you for stopping in with us. We have a family from North Carolina visiting with us. I'm glad they're here. Good to see other first-time visitors. Thank you for being here with us. We're in need of visitors today, and God sent them. Because we have several church family members that are out. Actually, Sister Lisa Romans has the flu. Sister Price also is sick as well. Not only Brother Price, but Sister Price. She came down with it this morning. And I see that the mans have just eased out. One of them is not doing well. But I'm glad you're here. Trust the Lord will bless your heart today because you have been a blessing to me and encouraged me this morning. Don't forget over here on the first pew by Brother Ray, the annual calendars are out as complimentary of also Memory Gardens there. So take one, two, three. If you got a neighbor would like one, there's plenty there. Take them and they're very pretty, beautiful calendars. So they're there for your taking. For your enjoyment. Don't forget, if you're on the Honduras team, be caught up with your funds that you owe personally, because we will be purchasing the tickets, the plane tickets here in the next week or so. So we need to be all caught up with that so we can make sure we're good to go. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. We're at the beginning of 2018, the third week into the year, and I've been trying to just settle in on some basic things as we've come up to this point. I believe that I'll be starting a series on Sunday morning, starting in February, as soon as we get past Scripture Day. Brother Sturgill will be with us with Seedline Ministries out of Georgia. He'll be helping us to understand a little bit more about the Word of God. And of course, we have a printing ministry here. And so today I want to talk about the Word of God leading up into next week. We are able to print 11 different languages in John and Romans and New Testament. Brother Dwayne Chase is a tremendous help in that area, and actually this week I have an unspoken request. He asked me not to tell anybody, but a young man approached me about possibly working in the printing ministry, but he said he wants it to be the Lord's will. He's not from around here, so he contacted me and talked with me and asked me not to mention his name, but it's what we need. Young man, not that Brother Chase is not able to handle it, but we've got to pass on all that wisdom and knowledge to someone younger so that they can carry on the printing ministry there. So we're going to be looking at the Word of God today for two reasons: to help us get prepared for next week, be praying about what the Lord would have you to do. We'll be taking up a special offering, everything next week that is not designated as our normal tithes and mission will go into the printing ministry to help us run the printing ministry. We have right now a shipment that has to go out. 25 boxes that are going to a medical clinic up in Alabama that's going down to Haiti. So that's over 2,000 New Testaments that they'll be taking down that was printed right here on the property. And if you don't work or take care of the, or have a part in that, I encourage you to come out on Tuesday mornings. Some of the seniors get together and work on the items, but the last Tuesday of every month, about 6:30, 6:45, we meet together as a group and we work over there in the printing press and collate, bind, and box up and get ready to ship out. It's once a month, so if you could, you're available, come out and just be a part of it and see what the Lord's doing over there. The second reason that we're going to be doing this is because lately, I've noticed a decline in Christians who believe the Bible is the Bible. And that's coming from somewhere. And I guarantee it's not coming from God, because He said, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven," in the book of Psalms. So it's not coming from God. We're learning this somewhere, that it's old, archaic, and it's out of date, and it does not helpful, it's not helpful for today, you know, things of that nature. And so I want our church to have a good, solid understanding that the Bible is the Word of God. So we're just going to mosey through some scriptures today to get us into it. It's not by coincidence on my part, but maybe it is on your part, but Miss Nancy ordered some of these here King James Bible Companion. It's over 600 archaic words and their definitions in a little bitty pamphlet, 600 words. There, very helpful, and she ordered those, and they came in today to match up with what we're thinking. And so she bought them for the young people, but she says she's going to have some leftovers, and she'll put them back on the free rack back there. Thank you, Sister Nancy, for doing that and listening to the Lord. That it would come in on this day. That's a blessing. There, you know, the Bible is really the greatest book of all time. It's one of the greatest libraries that you could ever imagine that has been assembled, 66 books, Old and New Testament, there together. And so we're going to just look at some things from the Word of God that complements and brings us confidence in the Bible. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and we'll get started. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Is the Bible the Word of God? Yes, it is. And yes, it is absolute. Yes, it is authoritative. And it has been preserved by God Himself. There it is. If you think about it, and it's not, well, I could be wasting my time. But if it is, and it is, dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing that compares to knowing the heartbeat of the one that loved us so great is God Himself. And the way we know His heart, we get into the Word of God and we hear the Scriptures. Now, there's unity throughout the Bible. Many do not know this, but there was over 40 different human authors that authored, there was human writers of the book. Of course, we know that the Holy Spirit of God guided them and directed them and helped them to know and show them what to write down and what to keep and what to canonize in what we know as the whole and complete Bible today. It was written over 1,600-year period. From the very book of the first book, which many believe it was the book of Job, written first in chronological order, all the way down to the last book of the Bible, 1,600 years of writings without any contradiction, all with the same story. Now you compare that with other writings that religious groups have, and within their own writings, it contradicts their own religion. I am so thankful that I have a book that has no contradiction in it as far as our way of act or way of living or our forms of beliefs and our doctrines and our teachings. There is no contradictions throughout the Word of God. There may be hard, difficult scriptures to understand, but if you will study them out and allow the Holy Spirit of God to bring the understanding, dear friend, you will find understanding in the Scriptures. To be honest with you, some say this is just a literary book. Well, if it is, I'm going to tell you, the old classics, just they don't even compare to what we have here. This is a wonderful, wonderful book that we hold called the Bible. There's many helps to help us to understand it. One thing that some of the educated folks have come to realize as they begin to compare and to put side by side by the educators have come up and said that actually the King James Bible is the easiest of all Bibles to read out of all the modern translations. Isn't that amazing? Although it's archaic, although it's old, although it's from ages gone by there. So even the educators have come to realize that that the King James Bible is the best to study by, to read by, and to understand by as God has preserved it and kept it throughout all these years. Now, how can we understand and know that the Bible is the Word of God? First of all, I'd ask you to challenge you to go back and study any and all types of prophecy. If you go back and study prophecy, like if you go back and study the book of Daniel, and you look at the vision there of the king as Daniel brought forth the vision of all the empires. Every last one of those kingdoms have come to pass. Just as he said, it's been bang, 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 bang. It has been there. The return of Israel back to its land. It has been brought out through the Scriptures that has been prophesied to be so. The birth of Christ in Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah chapter number 7, if you would, just for a minute. Now listen, I don't want you to think this is some boring lecture. The Word of God should be exciting to us. But I'm just telling you, I've been seeing people lose faith because they have no confidence in the Scripture. So I want you to see there are things in the Bible that will give us confidence, like the birth of Christ. Isaiah 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Many, 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 many years later, this prophecy came to pass in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, over in Micah. Micah chapter number 5. Micah is one of the minor prophets back in the latter part of the Old Testament. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 5. If you run past it and get to Habakkuk, you've gone too far. Back up a little bit, you'll find Micah chapter number 5. And the Bible says here in verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth out of me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting." And this prophecy of the place and the actual city and the town where he would be born, guess what? It came to pass. It's studied throughout history. Not only in the biblical history, you go back into to secular history, you can find that this is to be so, and it was so. The great book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 53, if you take time to go back and read it and study it and look at it, verse by verse and study it out, it is talking about the death and rejection of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he was cut off and how that all this would happen. Guess what? It came to pass. He was rejected of men. He was counted among the transgressors, two thieves hanging on either side. That's all there in the book of Isaiah. Like I said, the return of Israel. If you go back and used to read Ezekiel chapter 37 and study it out and look at it, guess what? Israel has returned back to the land where God has promised her. The rise that will come about from the northern kingdoms, Gog and Magog, which is modern day Russia at this time, will rise again in power. Dear friend, you can see it. It's coming. It will be a fulfillment of prophecy as you see that. When you think about a scientific type of explanation, you know, people say, well, this is, there's no way that you could know this to be true. Well, this is not a scientific book, but when it speaks on scientific subject, dear friend, it is accurate. It's very, very accurate. You think about the creation of man. Back over in Genesis chapter 1, all the way down through Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 25, as you study the creation and the elements of creation, the days of creation, you see it, and you see the things around us that are here. They're not by accident. They were created by God and by the hand of God, and He was involved in that. But for years, medical science and scientists have said, there was a way to cure illnesses. You had to drain something out of the bodies. They come to realize that that wasn't a good way of doing it. Why? Go to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. Pastor, what in the world are we doing? I feel like I'm in college again. Oh, no, dear friend. If you feel that way, it's because you have a wrong view of the Word of God and what it really means. It should be exciting to study the Word of God, that you can find confidence in it. I want you to have a background and understanding as we study through the Scriptures that the Bible is very helpful. And the reason it is helpful is because it shows and has proven itself to be true. Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 11, the Bible says this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." The medical science has come to figure that out. When it speaks of science and things of that nature, for years, people were scared to get on ships and go so far. Because why? They thought that the earth was what? Flat, did they not? Well, go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Before they had and found out the truth, God had already told us the truth. Isaiah chapter 40. Then verse number 22. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 22, the Bible says there, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. So it speaks toward science and looks at, matter of fact, it talks about in Job chapter 26, look over there, about the earth hanging in space. Job chapter 26, this is the oldest book of the Bible. In chronological order, if you was to move it into order that it was written, and way back before any of the books, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, before the Pentateuch, the five books that Moses wrote, this here states to us in Job 26, verse 7, he stretched out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Ever before he built the first rocket ship, ever before they went out into the space and flew out there, God understood. They could look back and they could see, hey, there's nothing. The earth is out there. What's holding in place? God's holding it in place. The whole universe, the whole Milky Way. Matter of fact, in the scriptures, he's named the stars. Ever before they even tried and started to name stars. You can find the names of some constellations together there. Look in Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter number 19. So we see there's unity in Scripture from the beginning to the end. There's one story. God's story for mankind built around the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you see all the prophecies in the Old Testament that we can go back and we can look, and they've come to pass, and they're there. And when we compare it with science, and we look at the things that science has come to learn, it was already taught by Scripture in the Word of God. Psalms chapter number 19. Look at verse number 1. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and listen what it says, and his circuit, talking about earth, and its circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The circuit, as the earth travels its path, it's continued there. All this is there. And we've come to learn that years after the Bible was written, about the operational aspects of our galaxy and how it rotates and moves and goes in space. I was just up in Canada this past week, and up there it was daylight. It started even getting daylight like at 8:40 in the morning. At 8:22 it started, the sun started rising. Why? Because of the circuit and the changing of the axis of the earth, and as the change and the sun moves closer to the equator. That's why we have this coldest. And as it goes on its circuit, all this done by the hand of God. Amen. Every last bit of it, as we speak and look at science, and it is very accurate when it comes to things that scientists that reject God believe now today. Is that amazing? And not only that, here is probably the greatest of all the points that I want you to make and understand is this. The guarantee that was given by Jesus Christ himself. If you can't believe anybody else, Jesus is saying yesterday, today, and forever, he is God, he cannot lie, and he has given us some guarantees throughout Scripture. And that should be the first thing on your mind. How many of you have been called not this year because we're too early into it, but at least from last year up to this year, you've been called by somebody trying to sell you an extended warranty? It happens, doesn't it? You don't even believe them no more, do you? They will sell you extended warranty on your car. It's got 197,000 miles on it. They want to extend it. And when you get to reading all the fine print, looking at it, the only thing it covers is air in your tires. That's it. Take it to the mechanic. They fix it, work on it, say, okay, well, we'll submit the bill. The bill comes back, and we cover the air that we to blow the dust off. The rest is your responsibility. We have no confidence even now. How many remember this, that Walmart, the great Walmart, the giant of all superstores, used to allow you to bring your electronic goods at least 90 days down the road if something broke. Now, I don't know, it may be even down as short as 15. I know it's not past 30. You cannot return it. You have to return it to the manufacturer. They don't even back up their warranties. They don't even stand behind them. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Jesus stands behind His warranty and the guarantee that He has given us. And if nothing of this other stuff even made a hill of beans of sense to you, the unity that's found throughout the Scripture, God is a God of order, no confusion about God. If the fulfilling of prophecies that have been fulfilled did not bring any confidence to you, if the talk about scientific accuracy and everything in the Bible that we read that is believed by science today, dear friend, I ask you to please grasp a hold of this, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. You know, the Bible says in John, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So I want to look at some guarantees given to us by Jesus. Look in Matthew chapter 24. When somebody tells you that the word of God is not for today, I want you to take them to this verse, Matthew chapter 24. Ask them, do you believe in Jesus? Oh yeah, He's my Savior. But there's error. Well, I want you to take them to this verse, Matthew 24, and verse number 35. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. When they say it doesn't stop for today, ask them, when did the earth pass away? Explain to me, when did the earth pass away? Because even atheists and agnostics and people who hate God believe that the earth had a starting point and that it's still continually in existence to today. So as long as the heavens and the earth is here, matter of fact, Jesus said the heaven and earth will pass away, but what did He say? But my word shall not pass away. What a guarantee. I mean, what an absolute. This is not a maybe so, it's go, it could be. It's an absolute. It's an absolute. Look with me over in John chapter number 10. This is another guarantee. All these scriptures I'm giving you are guarantees by the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter number 10, verse number 35. John chapter number 10 and verse number 35. This is what it says here. Actually, back up to verse 33. The Jews answered Him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not. They're talking about stoning Jesus right now. But for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thou self God. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? Well, where is their law? It's in the Word of God. Is it not written in your law, I said, listen to what He said, I said, talking about Himself, ye are gods, little g God. Verse 35, if He called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scriptures, what does it say? Cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. Well, I believe all the Bible, but I think this verse over here, it really doesn't belong. The Scriptures cannot be broken. That's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He said. Let's look over in Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14. Mark 14, verse number 49. The scripture says this in Mark 14:49, I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. The scriptures. Not just a scripture, not just a passage, the scriptures. There are plenty of prophecies yet to come to pass. And they must be fulfilled. Why? Because God said so. Different, we have an absolute book. But I'm lonely, I'm hurting, I'm doing without. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what? The devil does not want you to believe in an absolute authority. So that when you're depressed, when you're lonely, when you're feeling ashamed because something you do, that you have no hope. But if you have hope, you have confidence in the Scriptures, you can turn to the Scriptures when you have sinned, and you can find in the Scriptures where it says He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our iniquities. You have hope. The devil wants to rob you of that hope, dear friend. Have you ever heard this one? Well, that's Old Testament, and so we really can't go by that. Well, look here. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, the God of the Old Testament is God of the New Testament. He didn't hang up His coat and retire and let somebody take over in the New Testament. He's from everlasting to everlasting. So when they say to you, well, you really can't take the Old Testament, you know, as truth because it's the Old Testament. Ask them, do they believe Jesus? And if they say yes, take them to these verses here. Matthew 19. And verse number 4. Matthew 19. Some of you have been in weddings. You've heard this very passage. It's never clear where this came from. Guess where it came from? The Old Testament. Matthew 19, 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read? How did they read in the Old Testament? That he which had made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave the father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. Therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Where did Jesus quote from? The Old Testament. If Jesus didn't believe the Old Testament was needful, he would not have quoted from it. No. Alright, go to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. There's no way, absolutely no way, there was some man that floated around upon this earth and it was flooded and there was only a family in there and then everything. There was no way. Matthew chapter 24. That's why you can't believe the Old Testament. They talk about a flood and they talk about this guy building an ark. Matthew 24. You believe in Jesus? Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, just not that Old Testament. Matthew 24, verse 37. And as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into, what? The ark. See why the Old Testament is important? Because Jesus thought it was important. Jesus believed it was important. Okay, go with me to Luke chapter 17. God's not a God of wrath. God's not a God of judgment. Luke chapter 17. Well, yeah, you take them to the Old Testament. Oh, that's Old Testament. It doesn't mean anything. We live under grace. Thank God we do. Because I'm going to be honest with you, my dear friend, if we were still under the judging hand of God, and it is there, it's coming, I would be in trouble each and every day. Luke 17. Let me get over there and quit talking. Let the Bible do its talking. Luke 17, 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroy them all. Oh yeah, dear friend. The Old Testament is relevant. The Old Testament is important. Why? Because we learn from it. Brother Ray, we don't want to continue doing the same thing that the Old Testament saints did, the Old Testament believers did. They look forward to the cross of Calvary. We look back to the cross of Calvary. Noah found grace in the sight of God. Different. I'm glad there's grace. I am thankful. But the Bible as a whole is the Word of God. The Bible says this in the book of Hebrews and the book of Psalms. In the volume of the book, it is written about Jesus from beginning to end. Look over in Matthew 12. Back over in Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. You bunch of wackos. Nobody believed that Jonah was swallowed up by some fish or great whale. Y'all simple-minded. Oh, I love Jesus. I think Jesus believed it. Matthew 12, 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given of it to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the resort over at Disney. Oh, in the whale's belly. You believe Jesus can't lie? Oh, yeah, Jesus can't lie. But y'all crazy for thinking that old story told back over there. Jesus telling it as fact, isn't he? It's absolute. Is absolute. 3 nights in the heart of the earth, better as well, so shall the Son of Man. Here's the sign. Here's the equivalent. As Noah was in that whale's belly, the Son of Man, Jesus went into that tomb. Well, Jesus could have rose again on the second day. He would still been Jesus. Yes, he would have been, but he'd have been alive. Oh, Jesus could have rose again on the fourth day. Oh, yes, he could have. But he said the third day. And it was a must that scriptures be fulfilled. And so the third day, he rose again. He lives forever. Seated at the right hand throne of God, making intercession for us, our advocate. Wants us to believe the Word of God, because by the Word of God we have knowledge of sin. By the Word of God we have knowledge of a Savior. By the Word of God we have understanding of atonement by Jesus Christ and Him alone. You understand why the devil wants to make you not have any confidence? Because of that. The truth shall set you free. What's true? The Word of God is true. All those was guaranteed by Jesus, and I can go on and go on and on. But we're 2 minutes past 12, and I got to be done by 3. Not 3 after 12. Now you can let it. 3 o'clock. A.M. This is the very last reason, dear friend. I want you to understand that the Bible is God's Word. Because it works like nothing else. It works. I've seen broken homes. I've seen broken families. I've seen my own life turned around from the depths of sin. Look with me in Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 31. This verse alone ought to give you an understanding why the name of Jesus is under attack. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You know, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's no other name, it says in Acts 12, but there where man must be saved. Jesus. I was reading something around Christmas time, an article in the newspaper, I don't know which one it was, just a secular newspaper, and I was reading it, and there was a homeowners association. And they were making a family who had put up a Christmas light sign that just simply read Jesus. They said that wasn't Christmas decoration. Although it was the baby, the manger named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, but that's not the argument. Did it make you upset, Pastor? No. You know what it did? It brought confidence to Scripture for me. Because only by the name of Jesus can people be saved. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to Father but by me. There is no other way. And it proved to me that this world and the devil and those that are alienated against God and enemies against Christ, they will do anything they can to remove the only way to heaven. The only way. That's what it was all about. It just convinced me. It brought confidence that this is real. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, for all things are passed away and all things become new. I've seen wicked, godless, aimless people going nowhere turn completely around and become godly, loving, tender, forgiving towards others. Why? Because they had been given by God for Christ's sake. You get in this book, and you believe this book, the Bible, as God's Word, and you as God's child. Well, how does that happen? You know that you're a sinner. Why do I know that? The Word of God says it. If you don't know it, the Bible even teaches us that our conscience bears record. That's why this whole world wants to ruin our conscience. Things that just used to bother us don't bother us anymore. I mean, just don't bother us. We need to check our blushes. There's some things that should still cause us to blush. Oh, are you weak one? No, I'm human. I didn't say things should make me get on my knees and cry for mercy. There's some things that should cause me to turn my head because it's not pleasing to God. And we get in the Word of God. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That includes everybody. And we study on and we see in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we call out to Jesus in repentance toward God, God, I'm sorry. I need you. And you turn to Jesus and accept Him as the sin payment and atonement for your sins that you rightly have committed and you rightly own. Dear friend, you put your faith and trust in Him, you become His child. And as you become His child, this becomes our food. It's the bread of life. And we study it, we grow thereby, we look into it, we see how we should act and how we shouldn't act. You understand why this world is turned upside down right now? The Bible has no importance to this world. You know why they wanted to remove the Ten Commandments? And remove the bread of life. That's why. And this world has no love and compassion towards anybody anymore. I mean, we just hate to hate. Why is that? Because they have no understanding, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This morning, if you're lost and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you want to enjoy the book, I ask you to come. Let us take the Bible and show you how you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ alone. Not our church, but through Jesus. Let's stand up here. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. The pianist is on her way. Brother Jim's going to lead us in the song of invitation. And I don't know how it is at the church you come from, but we just come down sometimes as individuals, and we just kneel here at this old altar, these stairs in front of us, and we just spend time with God. Maybe you have wavered in your confidence in the Word of God. Maybe it'd be a good time to come back and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for emphasizing this morning that your word is true. Perhaps you've never known the living Word, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Why don't you come and we'll take the Word of God. We won't embarrass you. Take you aside and we'll show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life.